Lord, right now, I thank you, God, that your Spirit be poured out today on all these folks. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that everything that we're concerned about, God, that you are taking up our case. Lord, I thank you right now that people leave here changed in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hit on something this morning, and I don't believe that God was finished with it. And so I'm going to hit on it one more time. It's kind of like when you go to the dentist and they're trying to figure out which tooth is bothering you. And by the time you get there, all of them teeth are bothering you, because when one tooth hurts, it seems like they all hurting. And so it is so good to see you there in the back. It's good to have you. God bless you. Lord, everything that concerns her, God, I thank you right now that you're putting a resolve to it. Lord, I thank you for those prayers that she's praying to you. God, I ask that you'd answer them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20. And I read this morning. This morning was a wonderful message. It was about grief and guilt. I encourage you to go back to the live and to watch that. I believe that it can help a lot of people. So 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 18. This is a message, a verse that I read this morning in my message, and it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Verse 19, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence." Verse 20 is very important. This is what I'm going to minister on tonight. "Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything." I said this morning, and God was not finished with this thought, so I'm going to say it again. Sometimes your heart will tell you things that God is not saying. Sometimes your heart will tell you things that God is not saying. Verse 20, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read this verses again. Whenever the pastor gets to reading, and whenever you read the Word of God, if there's something that you don't understand, you need to stop right there, and you need to get to where you can understand it, whether you've got to Google it, whether you've got to change translations. But it's important that you understand His Word, because whatever you understand, you can plant it in there. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth." See, you either belong to truth or you belong to lies. And it just depends on who you've decided to serve. It depends on the choice that you've made that day. The Word of God says, now choose you this day. Do you want blessing or do you want curse? Do you want life or do you want death? And I believe that people choose every single day. And I believe that we choose every single moment. You don't wake up and do what you feel. You wake up and live out the Word of God. It needs to be planted in your heart. It needs to be in your actions, in your words, in your thoughts. And it says, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence." See, sometimes when we get in the presence of God, our heart is not at rest, and it's because we have a battle going on inside of our heart. And I'm telling you that there are times that your heart is telling you something that God is not saying. The heart is deceitful, and above all, who could know it? See, when your heart would tell you that you've gone too far and nothing good could ever happen to you because of what you did, God will say, "I want to give you another chance." When the doctor's telling you there's no hope, God wants to come in there and He wants to tell you, "I've came that you would have life and that you would have it in abundance." When your banker would tell you it's all gone, there's nothing more for you. See, God will say, "Hey, I am the God that owns everything. I have the cattle on 1,000 hills. I am here to provide for you." Your heart can tell you things that God has never said. It's important that you listen to God's Word and that you know God's Word. God is greater than our feelings. Go with me now. Well, I'm going to read, for understanding's sake, I'm going to read these same verses in the CEV version. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 20 in the CEV version. And it says, Children, you show love for others by truly helping them and not merely by talking about it. When we love others, we know that we belong to the truth and we feel at ease in the presence of God. Verse 20 is extremely important. I love the way the CEV reads this, because this is something that our culture needs to grab a hold of, because our culture is really screwed up right now, and I'm not afraid to preach that because everybody else is saying, oh, we're all fine. Ain't none of us fine. We need to keep that real. And it says, but even if we don't feel at ease, God is greater than our feelings. God is greater than our feelings. Y'all say that with me. God is greater than our feelings. And He knows everything. He knows everything. You cannot afford to make decisions off of how you feel, because you ain't always going to feel it. You cannot afford to make decisions off of how you feel, because feelings are not facts. But God's word is truth, and it is life. Culture will tell you, follow your heart. That is the dumbest thing that could ever be said. Because if you do that, that's a sure way to end up in failure. You can't afford to follow your heart. You've got to follow God, and you've got to follow His word. When culture would tell you to follow your heart, God would say, follow me. He who wants to follow me, deny themselves, take up their cross, follow me daily. You cannot afford to live off of what you feel, because what you feel ain't always right. Amen. Your heart will tell you things that God is not saying. The heart is deceitful, and above all, who can know it? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, we're going to look at verse 9. It's hard to get our heart in line with the Word of God, because it's not our natural instinct. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, and I just quoted this verse. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? What is this verse really telling us? That your heart is not a reliable compass. It is not. Now, for all of the people in here that know you're north, you're south, and you're east, and you're west, I am very proud of you. I am still working on that at age 40. I know this way is east, and that's about it. And that's because we've had a lot of work done on the east side of the church. And I have got to know that very well. And that's about the only direction that I know. Sonic's over there too. And my little baby, the Manna Center's over there also. But your heart is not a reliable compass, and that's why you can't follow it. It's not reliable. It has the ability to lie to you, and it has the ability to tell you things that God never said. And if you don't really know God well enough, you'll think that God's telling you something because your heart's gotten all heartsick and your heart's gotten messed up, and you'll believe what your heart's telling you, and then you'll be condemned. You're condemning yourself. You know how much self-condemnation goes on in the heart of the believer just because they feel bad about things that they've done or things that's happened to them? Amen. We got to bring our heart under God's truth. The heart feels very deeply, but it is not accurate. The heart has the ability to feel deeply, but it is not accurate. I'm going to give you an example. How many of you got a temper? You're a hothead. All right. I'm glad I'm with some honest folks, okay? That makes my job a little bit easier. I have a bad temper. When I'm upset, everybody's going to know it. And I am not going to fake it, because if I ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. And that's how I feel about it. Well, here's what I've noticed about myself. I could go from 0 to 60 in about less than a second. I mean, I could go there. I was walking around in the house that Frank and I are building, and I don't talk about that a lot because ain't nobody very happy when the pastor succeeds. And I'm going to tell you something. If that's where you find yourself, you need to wisen up, because if you got a broke pastor, you're going to have a broke life in every form of the way. You don't need to follow somebody that's all busted up in their life, because that's how your life is going to be. You need to follow somebody that you can look up to. And Frank and I, for the sake of our marriage, we have decided that we will no longer go to Lowe's together. We made that decision a couple weeks ago, because we had, I don't know, maybe one of our worst arguments over that place. And I said, baby, I don't think it's God's will for us to be in that building under the same roof at the same time ever again. He said, I think you're on to something. So yesterday I went there, and this is how I am, and this is a personality trait that I got from Dad. And they said, I said, I don't want my flooring getting messed up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy something to cover the whole place, because I'm eccentric. And I had them point me in the direction of where that stuff would be. And I thought, the biggest thing, I want the biggest, I want the best, and I want the most expensive stuff to put over this floor. And I had to bear hug that thing. It was about as big as me. It's about this tall, and it weighed a whole lot. And here I am bear hugging this thing, trying to get it in the shopping cart, because there ain't no man around. That's another thing about Lowe's, is ain't nobody hardly works there no more, because everything, you know, has gone on to do it yourself mode. That's another thing that's wrong with this country, is we're replacing jobs with, I don't know, AI. So Frank comes home, and he had trouble getting it out of the car. And he said, I'm not a bit surprised that this is what you picked. He said, this is the most expensive thing, isn't it? Yep. This is the biggest one they had. Yep. And I said, I got some other ones too. But see, our heart is really inaccurate a lot of times. And we can go from 0 to 60 really, really quick. And that's why you can't rely on your feelings. And what I've noticed about my feelings is that I could be irate about something, and I could be really being a hothead, but if I can get about 2 or 3 hours where I don't react, I usually can do good. That is why you should not make decisions off of your feelings, because some decisions that you would make would look different just between the matter of a few hours. Amen. I'm going to say that again, because I feel like there's some people in here, and you need to hear that. You need to slow down on making emotional decisions based off of how you feel, because your feelings in just a couple hours will change. That's how unreliable that they are, and that's how goofy our human hearts can really be. Amen. Now, we're going to go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. And I'm going to tell you this. Our feelings can and do contradict God and His Word. Our feelings have the ability to contradict God and His Word. 1 John chapter 3, I'm only going to look at verse 20. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. There are times when your heart is telling you something that God is not saying. I preached on guilt this morning. When your heart would tell you that you're guilty, God would say you're forgiven. There's times where your heart is not telling you what God's saying. And because of that, you can't live off of your feelings and you can't follow your heart. God is greater than our hearts. When your heart would tell you that you're guilty, when your heart would tell you that you're not enough, when your heart would say it's never going to get any better, when your heart would say it's going to always be this way, that's a lie. And God is not saying that, because with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Billy, did you ever think you'd see your daughter up here singing for Jesus? I remember when you used to cry sitting in the pew wishing she was here. Can you see all of the things that God is doing? Amen. Man, God has been faithful. God is on the move. God is into restoring people. He is into helping people. He is into healing people. And you can't afford to listen to your heart, because sometimes your heart's going to tell you the very opposite of what God would say. So, God is greater than our hearts. Now, I want to talk to you about feelings versus the truth. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. We're talking right now about our feelings. I always preach to you that they're not facts, but right now I'm going to talk to you specifically about the feelings versus the truth. Feelings versus the truth. Have you ever noticed just how your feelings are very untruthful? How many of you like to have pity parties for yourself? On some of my bad days, my pity party self is saying, well, it's all on you. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of myself. Because it ain't all on me. First and foremost, it's all on God. Every last bit of it. A few weeks ago, I caught myself being frazzled and agitated when I got behind the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and God said, you know, you did that to yourself. Nobody helps you do that. That was something you did to yourself. And I said, well, God, it's just hard for me to do this and to do that and to do everything before I get behind the pulpit. And let me tell you something. If you ever want growth in your church, a pastor has to know how to delegate, or there will be no growth. And this church has had a lot of growth, and it's because I've taken my hands off of certain things, and I don't got to be the one doing it. Amen? Because, see, God did not intend for this to break me down. And God did not intend for what you're going through to break you down. And you can't afford to listen to what your feelings have to say about what you're going through. You can have those feelings, but you can't rely on them and make your decisions off of them. And at some point, you have to say, I'm going to get my feelings in line with the Word of God, and I'm going to get them in check. And every idle thought and every idle word that I say, I'm going to make sure that it lines up with His Word. Because, see, by our words are we justified. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we're talking right now about feelings versus the truth. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And to do anything in this day and age with all of your heart is a very hard thing to do. And just because something is hard doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It is going to be hard to trust God with all of your heart. Do it anyways. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When we lean on our own understanding, what we begin to do is emotionally reason things. I'm going to say that again. When we lean on what we understand. And how many of you get that we understand really very little? Do we get that? Sometimes I start thinking, Rex, that I understand myself. And then I'm like, by the time I go to bed, I'm like, I don't even get my own self. How can I figure anybody else out? I don't know what Frank's over there thinking. And all of you people that are married, stop trying to think about what your spouse is thinking, because you ain't never going to nail that. And if you're a man trying to do that, you really ain't going to nail it. Because I got news for you. We don't even know what we're thinking. I don't know how many times Frank's asked me, well, what's wrong with you? I have no clue. I just woke up like this. And I'm praying to God it passes. You can't afford to lean on what you understand, because we understand very little. And we begin, when we lean on what we understand, we emotionally reason things out. And there's times where there's no room for emotion. There's only room for what God says. There's time where there is no room for emotion. There's only room for what he said. Reasoning will get you to double thinking, doubting, lying to yourself, obsessing. You can't afford to go there. Lean on truth and not your feelings. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Most of the world has leaned on what they feel and what they understand, and that is why the world is in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Most of the world is leaning on what they feel and what they can understand. And unfortunately, many believers are doing the same thing. Culture, for instance, it blows my mind how screwed up the world is that we're living in. And it really blows my mind how God's kids are falling for it. Because see, culture will tell you, well, be whatever you want to be. That's also dumb. There's no other word for me to use there, okay? You can't be what you want to be. Because see, on your best day, we don't even know what we want to be. God would say, be who I put you here to be. Be that person that when I created you, when I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I had the intention for you to do this, that's what you do, and that's who you are. And we wonder why people are messed up, and it's because we've saturated our mind and our emotions in what the world has to say about our everyday living, and the world is off. The world would say, follow your own truth. Follow your truth, or I know my truth and I'm going to stick with my truth. You know what that really is saying? I've decided that I'm going to do this and I know it's wrong and I'm going to call it right. And anybody that opposes that, I'm just going to tell them I'm going to follow my own truth. And that's how people end up walking away from God, thinking that what they're doing, God will accept. There are things that God will never accept. And he describes those in fullness in his word. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 26. And I would like that in the King James Version. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, I didn't say that. God did. God just defined who a fool is. And he defines a fool as a few other things in his word, and we need to search those out because we don't need to be fools. But it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. There's things and there's decisions and there's breakthroughs in your life, and they can only happen for you when God's got your decisions. When you've laid your emotions down at the altar and you've said, God, it don't matter how I feel. It matters what you say. We base too much of our life off of how we feel. And God is always getting the short end of the stick. Do you ever notice that? When we live in our feelings, God's always the one getting the rawest, worst deal. Because our feelings are very jacked up. And they ain't right. And the devil loves to get people wrapped up in their feelings. There's a few things that I laugh about, and I'll keep it real with you. I laugh about a lot of things in my head. And I'll share a few of them with you. These things used to really annoy the absolute heck out of me. But now I almost find them humorous because God has taught me not to live off of how I feel. Now, have I mastered it? No. I had a breakdown, like I said, with Frank over there about Lowe's, and that's pretty silly, but I can admit it. What can you admit tonight? Well, I'm not going to go to church because I don't feel like it. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Neither does the pastor every time. Right, Dad? Is that not right? Give me a high five for that one. That's about 45 years in the making right there, that statement. See, it really don't matter how you feel. Now, if you're sick, if you've got a fever, if you're contagious, you need to stay home. But I'm going to tell you something that the devil loves to do. He loves to keep people out of church. Because, see, the body of Christ was meant to flow as one body and to heal itself. I can't tell you how many times Melissa Hilton's come and just seen her walking up to the church has made me feel better. Brother Sam, I was sitting here in praise and worship, and I thought, you know, I didn't see Brother Sam here. He didn't tell me he wasn't going to be here. And right when I thought that thought, for the last 30-something years, I've heard you say hallelujah so many times in the praise and worship. But when I heard that, I instantly said, God, thank you for Brother Sam. He has been a constant in my life. He was in the hospital with your stepson. You can't afford to make decisions off of how you feel. You can't afford to stay out of church because of how you feel. You can't afford to sin because of how you feel. And a lot of times we're justifying what we're doing because we're feeling something in that moment. Well, God will understand. Yes, He will. He'll understand that you're ruled by your feelings, and He'll know right how to work on you. How does He do that? He'll get you to having them feelings a little bit more often until you crucify your flesh and you just lay down that bad attitude. And that horrifies me because I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a lot of things to work on. You can't afford to trust your heart. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to look at verses 26 and 27. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 26 and 27. God has things that He wants to say about our heart, and there's things that God does along the way with our heart. One of the things that He does is He promises in His Word that He will give us a new heart if that's exactly what we need. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, it says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit inside of you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. See, sometimes we've lived off of how we felt for so long that we're never going to give anything or anybody another chance because we've done been burned one too many times. And I'm going to tell you something. You can miss out on so much blessing and joy in your life just by being shut off because you've done been burned there one time. Or maybe it was two times or three or four, whatever the case may be. You can't allow to make decisions off of that because you're going to miss out on some blessings. We get burned by people. We say, oh, I just take people. I don't want to be around people, blah, blah, blah. Look here, what you're really saying is I don't want to be hurt by people anymore. That's what you're saying. And if that's how you feel, let God choose who you get to have in your life. Because God will give you people. Our heart isn't reliable and we shouldn't listen to it. God's never told us to follow our heart. He tells us to give Him our heart. There have been times where my heart was very hardened at something. And I've had to pray the prayer, God, give me a new heart on this particular subject. Lord, and furthermore, give me your heart with this. Give me your heart with it. How many of you know that sometimes there are certain subjects that your heart ain't right on them? When you can see that your heart isn't right on something, ask God to give you how His heart would be. Ask Him. And He'll do that. And He'll do it as many times throughout your life as what He needs to. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to look at verses 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. There's times when it comes to your heart, you need to say, God, as far as it concerns this situation, I'm going to give you my heart. And God, I ask that you would give me your heart. We have trouble with this when people hurt us, when we get disappointed, when we hear things that we don't want to hear. A few weeks ago, I was in a meeting, and I sat by somebody that I really have admired for years. And there was a shift in that person, and there was a change in that person. And for about an hour, they were nothing but rude to me. And I could tell the vibe, and I hate using that word, but I don't know what other word to use, but I could tell the vibe they were trying to give me because they had shifted in how they felt about me. And I had a feeling that it was over this political garbage that our town got their little drawers all in a bunch about. Well, I can't help that the person that was great for the job got the job. And guess what? I'm going to tell you something. the other person would have been great at it too. And I left out of there ruled by my feelings, madder than a hornet. And it took me a day and a half to get over what I felt about that person. And when I could really sweep away all of the silly nonsense of my own self, what I could tell was that I was just hurt of how they were treating me, because I had nothing to do with that. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry that it's taken me a day and a half to get straightened out. But God, I've been wrong for a day and a half. And God, I'm going to get it right. Lord, I ask you right now to bless that person. Because, see, my heart is telling me to just not like them. But I'm not going to listen to that, because I've happened to actually love this person for years and looked up to them for years. See, isn't it funny how you could look up to somebody or love somebody for years, and in a moment when they don't treat you just how you think they should treat you, you done with them? That's why you can't be ruled with how you feel, because there's a possibility that that person was just having a bad day. And God said, Kelly, you're going to have to make up your mind that no matter what, you're going to act like a winner. And you're not going to act like a loser. Because I walked out of there thinking, I ain't never speaking to her again. And God said, you're wrong. And you're wrong for doing that. Can you allow God to correct you with your feelings? A prayer I like to pray is, God, I know I'm not feeling right about this, and my flesh is binging off of myself and all my bad feelings. Lord, correct me. Do you love righteousness enough that you'll ask God for the correction? Or does it just still feel good to be wrong? It doesn't. Because, see, when it's just you and you're going to bed and you're searching your day and you're searching your heart, if you really love God, God's going to bring that up to you. Culture tells us these silly things. And I'm not going to stop talking about our culture, because, see, the culture doesn't change until the church changes. The church is watered down. The church is a whole. We got pastors that won't talk about things they should be talking about. God don't need them pastors like that. And God don't need his kids acting like that either. Culture will say, well, trust your gut. Well, sometimes that's off too, okay? Because your gut usually is a knee-jerk reaction to something that's been done to you. God would say, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Follow my word. Last place for me this morning, or this evening, Psalms chapter 51. Verses 10 through 12. Psalms chapter 51, verses 10 through 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. In another translation, it says a right spirit. Because, see, sometimes we get off and we're wrong. And when you find yourself in those times where you're in the wrong, just say, God, get me on the right track. And don't be too prideful to say, I'm wrong. Don't be too proud to say, I didn't handle that right. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. I encourage you to crucify how you feel when it doesn't line up with His word. I encourage you to acknowledge when your heart needs some guidance, when you're feeling a way that you shouldn't be feeling. And I'm going to encourage you on this. Some of your feelings are towards the people that you love the most. I'm going to say that again. I've had to really chew on this. I've had to digest it for a long time, and it's taken a long time to even think about needing to change, but I'm going to give you that. Some of the feelings are with the people that we love the most. And I'm going to explain this to you. Don't be ruled off of how you feel with the people that you love the most, because I'm going to tell you something. Tomorrow isn't promised to anybody. I know a lot of people with regret, because that's what they have to live with, because they were ruled off of their feelings when it came to the people that they love. Y'all stand to your feet. You're going to have a great week. I'm not saying that you're not going to be challenged. I'm not saying that you're not going to be tested. You're going to have an opportunity. God will never have a sermon preached that you won't have an opportunity to live it out. So I got news for you. There's going to be something go on this week that you want to have lots of feelings about, and the feelings probably aren't going to be great. That's an opportunity to live out the word. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all of these beautiful people. Lord, I also forgot to do the giveaways again. I am 40, Lord. Things are happening to me I don't understand. But God, I ask that you'd bless these beautiful people. And I ask that you'd keep them. And God, I ask that you'd help them to live out the sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now this...